All right, we're teaching on the subject of of us being able to possess our inheritance. We call it the manifesting as sons of God. And we have come some distance with this topic. I'm trying to wrap it up now. The you know, no matter whatever you do for God, it takes prayer. Because the enemy is trying to bring confusion in and trying to keep you from operating in a way that people can receive. And so you just have to keep praying, keep confessing until you get the right things going in the ministry so that everything will work like it's supposed to. I came from Lake in Pulaski, where I had to believe God when every morning I would come, every Sunday morning, and all the whiskey bottles and everything down there. And the enemy would try to make it rain on Sunday because we had a hole in the roof. And I'd be mopping and so forth until the people got there. But the Bible says a faithful man will abound in blessings. And all I got to do is be faithful, and whatever changes God's got to make it work right, he's obligated to do that. He obligated himself. So that's what I do. Let me start reading here, starting at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Say now. When we're talking about now, we're talking about right now. That the whole creation groaneth together until now. So we're talking about here, we're talking about manifesting the sons of God. We've been talking about vengeance and recompense, but we want to go into this last area called the day of his power. Day of his power. Now, what are we saying here for this time? That we are going to manifest the sons of God. Sons means mature offspring. And I said that the message that we're giving you now is a grown-up message. It's meat. It's something that is for the mature believer. It is something also that we said, I call it X-rated. It's for grown folk. And so that's the message that we're giving you. Now, he says that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, I've been talking on that on Wednesday nights, on the fact that we got to get rid of fear. That fear is a spiritual force, and a spiritual force you can't get rid of it naturally. You have to do something else to overcome a spiritual force. Natural things don't overcome spiritual things. So there has to be something you have to do. So we talked about that on Wednesday nights, and fear has cousins, and we talked about all of those and so forth. But we said also, when a person is walking by faith, they're walking in a way that to the world might seem kind of crazy, or what words did I use there? I said that it was a faith walk is a walk where, let's see, I said it this morning. What? You subject yourself to ridicule, meaning that there is a time when you're walking by faith that it might look like is not working. And that's because you're walking by faith. So you're subject yourself to ridicule. When Jesus spoke to water, or he spoke to a tree, I mean, that looks crazy to the natural person. But the water stopped and the tree withered away. So the evidence of that people are going to see in your life. So you got to remember that these things that I'm preaching here are things that have to be received by faith. These are not things that you just hear the sermon, jump up and down, kick over the church benches, go home, talk about, oh, what a wonderful service that was. Now, those kind of people have taken this as religion. That's why they can, hear the word of God on Sunday and then go home Sunday night and slap their wife. You know, that kind of person, they got a hold of religion. They don't have a hold of truth. Truth will separate you from those kind of actions and so forth. Are you following what I'm saying now? Now, so I'm saying that, and I don't say that to offend anybody. I'm just saying it because what happens with you taking this word and taking it more than just a sermon, but taking it for a lifestyle, is when you go home with it, you start chewing on it. And when you start chewing on it, the revelation of it begins to open up. And once revelation opened up, you need revelation to separate you from this dark world. Revelation is light, and light leads you out of darkness. So we said that we are in our finest hour, and that Jesus, when he came to the earth, he brought a shift in power. He brought a shift in power. Now, this, let me just go on with it. So the church is in basically its finest hour. That's what we said. We said that everything that's holding you and keeping you from your destiny must let you go. And we talked about 1 Samuel chapter 7 and talked about the Philistines and how this Philistine god Dagon was in the temple. And as a result of that, the Philistines got the Ark of the Covenant out of Israel's camp, and they brought it into the Philistine camp and put it in their own temple. And when they put it in there overnight, when they woke up, their god Dagon had fallen over on his face. And it was a stone god carved out of stone. And they they start getting boils on them and so forth and so on. They said, hey, let's get this ark out of here. This thing must be causing us problems. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you that everything that's holding you now must let you go, because we're in a certain time. Let's see what time we're in. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 102, verse 13, please. Psalm 102:13. Now, you believe everything that's holding you must let you go? I want you to believe what a prophet says. I want you to receive it by faith and believe it and watch it happen in your life. And it's going to happen now. It's not going to happen. I'm just talking about something next month, next year. I'm talking about right now. I said right now. Okay? All right, look what it says here in verse 13 of Psalm 102. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. Zion is symbolizing the church. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Now, we talked about favor and God's divine assistance. He's going to promote you. He's going to bless you. He's going to cause you to be promoted, whatever have you. God's going to be one that's going to be divinely behind your acceleration. So, but the set time has come. That's this time that we're in right now. So we're in a precious time. God now is giving some things to the church. He's enabling the church so that the church can finish the work which he has called us to do. So what I showed you in Isaiah chapter 61. Come on over there, please. Isaiah chapter 61. Let me know when you get to Isaiah chapter 61. Hello. All right. Isaiah 61. In Isaiah 61, Jesus reads from this in the book of Luke, but he leaves out something. I'll just read just a part of it again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build, underline that, and they shall build the old waste places, and they shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. All right, now I won't go any further than that, because he talks here about the church and what they're going to do. If you want to see more about that, all you have to do is go to Joel chapter 2, maybe about chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, and you can see that. Now, let me just focus in on what I'm saying. So, Jesus preached in the synagogue in Luke 4, and he left off the day of vengeance of our God. Because Jesus wasn't the one that was going to build. You and I are going to build. Jesus never built a school. He never built this or never built a daycare center. He never built a college. He never built a business, because that wasn't his ministry. That's our ministry. We're going to have to build. Now, he's saying there's going to be a day of vengeance of our God. And what I'm saying to you is, whatever has been trying to block your way in building, God's going to deal with it himself. Because there is a set time that God has that has to be answered here in this hour. There are some things that God must do and must accomplish before Jesus comes again. And the church has been resisted. And when I say been resisted, I mean that there have been things that the enemy has been doing that have been forces that have been resisting God's people from moving in to that finest hour. They have been holding us back, if you will, and we had not known it. Now, I gave you some examples of that, and I told you about Daniel, for example. Let's go over there, please. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Now, hold on, because when I say vengeance, I'm not talking about somebody's mad or somebody's mean. That is not what I'm talking about. I described vengeance to you. I better cover it again so I'll make sure that you understand it. When I'm talking about vengeance, I'm talking about someone who, I'm going back in my notes now. Vengeance, it says, nothing to do with hate or resentment, but of affliction proceeding from love of justice, the necessity of punishing offenders, and that kind of thing. That's vengeance. So it's all through the Bible. I mean, all you have to do is go in here and chew on this, and it'll take you right to it. But this vengeance was the love of justice. Let's just see something. See, folks, there are unjust laws on the books. I don't know whether you know that or not, because most people in the world are still being deceived. I mean, they just can't see anything. Once you get this in you and start chewing on it, you'll begin to see a lot of discrepancies. Now, when I say that, I mean this. Jesus came to bring a shift in power. One of the reasons why you and I have come to the earth is we have come to this earth to return this earth back to line up with heaven. We have come as the government of God to express God's will on this earth. Now, the enemy has had this earth under his control. There are people that know things about you that you don't even know about you. Do you realize that? And much of it is not to do you good. I mean, it's not something that because they're gonna bless you with $1 million tomorrow or something. But my point to you is, and I'm not talking about people, I'm saying there is a system out here that has been set up to regulate the masses of people. When you and I come into the kingdom and get a hold of the truth makes us free. And it separates us from the dominion of that system, but not only that, it empowers us to take dominion over that system. So every nation we go in, we're going into that nation to bring it under the dominion of God's rule. And where people have been treated unjustly, we're the ones sent in there to right the wrong, to bring justice. Oh, Lord have mercy. Daniel chapter 6, you have that? Put something right there. Turn to Psalm chapter 82, real quick. Psalm chapter 82. Now, we've read this before. Now, read it in the context of what I just said. That we're going to bring everything under the divine alignment of the kingdom of God. Now, we're not trying to do away with democracy. Because God sets up governments, and he sets them up when he gets ready. We're making whatever set up cooperate with heaven. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying, okay, all right. Look what it says here in Psalm chapter 82. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Selah. Now, wait a minute. He's talking to you and me. Or he's talking to his people. Because his people are in the midst of something. Well, how long are you going to judge unjustly? How long will you accept injustice and not do a thing about it? My wife showed me a scripture that it says that if injustice is not dealt with swiftly, that the ones who perform injustice will get only more wicked. There it is. It's found in Ecclesiastes. Oh, hold on. I'm right. I'm still here. Psalm chapter 82. But I'm telling you this. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, and I'm going to put it in my own words, because the I can't cover but so much. I see right now. I'm just going. Let me just stop with Psalm chapter 82. Psalm 82. All right. Verse 3. Look at verse 3. Defend the poor and fatherless. Keep going. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy and rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in what? Darkness. All the foundations of earth are out of course. Have I not said you are gods? I have said you are gods. All of you are children of the Most High. So, our part of our stewardship is to bring justice. That we're not to sit and watch injustice go and not say something about it. You got to see this. So I'm only saying that because vengeance is a love of justice. It is God himself. Now, if you go with me, I know I have you at where? Isaiah something. What did I have you at before this? Daniel 6, okay. Stay with Daniel 6, stay there, but you can let go of Psalm 82. I just want to show you this, that God is now speaking to his people, say, why have you not dealt with the injustice? Let's go to another one. Let's go to another. See, that's why nothing's changed. Folks coming into church, hallelujah, this is the day. But where is the transformation in the community? Where are you following what I'm saying? See, you're not mad at anybody. That's not the idea. The idea is establish heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because your mission from Genesis 1 has never changed. You're just the last Adam. Your mission has never changed. He said, be fruitful, didn't he? Multiply, keep going, replenish the earth, keep going, and subdue it. Replenish means to stock with abundance or recover former fullness. That's what you're supposed to do. Everywhere Jesus went, when they were sick, what did he do with them? He healed them. When they were demonic possessed, what did he do with them? Set them free. Whatever it was that was against heaven, Jesus dealt with it. He dealt with it. Now understand, he was the beginning of that. Now the church is birthed, which is God's government in the earth. And everywhere you go, every place the soles of your foot shall tread, God is going to give you. And we are now in the day of his power. Now that means this is going to be a power that has never been seen before, because the only way Pharaoh would release Israel is with power. That enemy is not going to let this go without power. And what people have been doing is they've been trying to preach and preach and preach better than him and preach better than her and get on TV and preach and preach. Well, where is the power? The enemy respects power, and you shall receive power. Power, man. This is supposed to be a powerhouse. This is supposed to be when people come in here, they don't leave out the same. It's too much power. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the mighty power. It's power that's never been demonstrated in this earth before. It's going to be power that's going to be raising people from the dead like popcorn. I decree it in the name of Jesus. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Oh, yeah. And this thing has been trying to creep in. I mean, I even remember, and I'm going to go ahead and say this because I don't know, you know. But I was just listening to the whole Michael Jackson thing and so forth. And I remember they had this lady on Larry King Live who was, and she was saying, she said, you know, and all they did, they rushed downstairs and they said, let's all form a circle and let's pray. Now, his heart wasn't beating. So somebody's thinking somebody's about to come back alive. I mean, I'm just saying, this thing is creeping in. This thing is creeping in. She said, we formed a circle and we began to praise. So there's a believer up in there somewhere. Somebody formed a circle. I'm telling you, folks, the enemy has had a heyday, and he's had it because the church has pretty much just been hiding out in the pew, in the church house, and this is the day. It is the day. It's going to be the day of God's power. It's going to be the set time of the favor of God, that the divine power of God going to be on you so heavy until when you speak, everything will happen. We have been laughed at. We have been locked out. We have been kept down. We have been all kinds of mess. Listen, them days are over. Whatever's standing in your way is not going to stand in your way anymore. I was yesterday. A friend of mine calls. Hey, he's talking about he's taking his family on vacation and so forth. And all of them, a bunch of them. So he said, man, the only problem, I've lost my wallet. And I said, what's in it? All my credit cards, everything. I said, listen. I said, where'd you lose it? He said, I think I put it in that golf bag when I was on the golf course, and this is another place. And I said, oh, I said, okay. I said, well, let's get it. He said, huh? I said, let's come on, we're going to claim that. We're going to claim that. I said, I claim that wallet right now back into your hands in Jesus' name. He said, oh, praise God, I hope so. I'm not hoping, Doc. I ain't hoping. I said, I have claimed. I have spoken that wallet back into your hand. If it's in the earth, I got somebody that can go get it. I'm talking about power, man. And so what happened? What happened then? He called me back in about a half hour. Doc, I said, what? They called me from Wisconsin. I said, what did they call you about? They found my wallet in Wisconsin. I don't care if it was in Timbuktu. It don't make no difference. If it's in the air, it's coming back to where I said it's coming back. Okay, thank you. Are y'all following me? The whole world is waiting for the manifestation, come on, of sons of God. They're waiting on you. They want to see something. We didn't talk enough, man. You know what I mean? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. Did I have you to turn there? Well, turn there, praise God. Verse 30, for we know him that has said, vengeance, just a minute, let me wait on these people. These are your people. Can y'all put it on the board? Is that okay? Is the thing working right? Folks, I'm going on, okay? Can I go on? I don't want this stuff to start distracting me. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to who? Me. And I will what? Recompense, saith the Lord. It belongs to him. It doesn't belong to you. You don't have to get even with your enemies ever again. Your days of getting even with folks is over. You just love them. God will take care of the rest. Say amen to this. Now, what did we say recompense was? It means to compensate. It means to make or repay. It means to return of equivalent anything that's done or suffered. So when God delivers you, he's going to pay you back. He's going to pay you back for everything anybody ever stole from you. Come on, he's going to pay you back for any time you lost on the job. He's going to pay you back for the time you did not even have a job. He's going to pay you back for the time that they unjustly let you go. He's going to pay you back for the time they robbed your 401k. He's going to pay you back. See, it was all the world system, and they stole it, folks. They stole it. See, it's things going on. This guy, I heard this guy talk about the Silicon Valley, you know, out in California. And he was saying that, I guess the number is that a new invention comes to in Silicon Valley every 6 minutes. Every 6 minutes is a new invention. Now, wait a minute. How much of this is coming through the church? See, I believe. Oh, can y'all handle this? See, you got to leave where you're at. Excuse my English. I know we got educators in here today, but you got to leave where you're at. My dad was a real stickler for English boy. I could hear him raise up now. Son, you do not end a sentence with a preposition. You just don't do that. But anyway, my point to you is you got to leave where you're at. Praise God. See, if you want to go to another level, you got to leave this level. And you've got to be comfortable enough to leave it. See, the best Volvo still does not have the, is not in the same class as the worst Rolls Royce. Come on now, the most expensive Volvo won't touch the least expensive Rolls Royce. Wait, 'cause it's two different class. I'm not talking about one car or the other. Now, that's not my point. My point to you is you got to leave one denomination and you got to come to another denomination. You follow what I'm saying? Denomination, you look it up in the old dictionary, it means class. So if we're looking at that, the same thing about us is we got to move from the molecular level. We've got to move from the level of the molecules of our natural, material, fleshly environment. And we got to move to the spirit. I heard one man progress through. He said, first you go through the next level after the molecular level is a sound level. You know, sound, people break the sound barrier, so sound travels at, 750 miles an hour or something like that. And then he said you go to the light level. Well, light travels then at 186,000 miles per second. You know that. And then he goes to the thought level. See? And now, each one of these levels has dominion over the other level. Then you go to the thought level, and a thought moves at the speed of content. And then you go on to the spirit level. You follow what I'm saying? And in the spirit, it can't be contained. You can't contain that level. Because God is everywhere all the time. Are you following what I'm saying? So I'm saying, come on now, come on up there, because before it's over, men are going to walk like spirits. Man, y'all better get a hold of what I'm saying. This is the only reason Jesus could get out of the boat and walk on the water. And then Peter said, if that be you, tell me to come too. Jesus said, okay, I'll show you. Come. Peter got out of that boat and walked on water. Folks, that's something. Run some water in your bathtub at home and see can you get out on there and see can you what you can do with it. Now, what does it take? I think part of it takes a superiority consciousness. See, you got to see yourself speaking as seated with him and not speaking like a person struggling trying to get a hold of something in the earth. All right, so vengeance is mine, not a recompense. All right, so we use the example of Israel coming out of Egypt. But I got you at Daniel, don't I? Yep. All right, let me just show you Daniel first, and we'll talk about this other thing. Are y'all with me? Yeah. Now, this is grown folk. Now, I'm showing you something, that one day Israel was broke. They were slaves. The next day, it was about a millionaire in every house. Is somebody here? Y'all see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not appealing to somebody's greed and get rich quick scheme. That's not what I'm appealing to, because there is a purpose for the wealth. And if purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. So you got to know the purpose. And the purpose is to build. It's to build. It's to help evangelize the earth. It's to not only evangelize, disciple. Because you go in those places. Let me tell you, I went to Uganda one time, and like I said, I came into the hotel. The pastor was with me, Ugandan pastor. And the guy at the desk, I said, I saw him. He said, hey, this guy is a Christian, strong Christian. And I said, hey, praise the Lord. And this is what he said, praise the Lord. So I was trying to mimic him. I said, well, praise the Lord. And I got up to the room. I said, why did he say praise the Lord like that? He said, well, Pastor, if he says it loud, you know, one of the other religions own this hotel. And if he said that loud, they'll let him go. Folks, I've been over in one of the African nations, and they wouldn't let even a person, they wouldn't let even hire them if they didn't belong to their religion. I won't quote the religion. I don't want to stir up nothing I don't have to stir up. But they all won't come to know Jesus. Now, I'm just saying, all of a sudden, you kick a person, you get them converted, and they say, praise the Lord, too loud, and now they're off, they're fired. And they're fired with 5 kids. Now, what they gonna do? They gonna come to you to take care of them. You need some money. And it's all right, because I expect to have plenty of it. Yeah. Folks, it's not for us to just fat cat off of. It's for us to build. You got to see that. Build, and the more you sow, the more he gives you. God gives seed to the sower. All right, let me try to finish. Man, are y'all with me? How am I doing? Am I doing all right so far? You saw what happened in Haiti. We went down there. The whole place needs an overhaul. They don't have any education, don't have any schools, don't have any water, don't have any food, don't have any. Man, they need an overhaul. Amen. But listen, it's not, but how many people are on Haiti? How many people in Haiti? Anybody remember what the number is? Population, Haiti, how many? 2.5 million. 2.5 million. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. What? Wait a minute. 2.5 million. Now watch this. That's a small enough number that we can just take care of the whole country.
Yeah.
And now think about it, ain't but 2, 4, 5 million. That's not a lot, folks. That's not a lot. That's probably including kids and crumb crushers and everything else. But that's not a lot. I'm just saying, I look, because sometimes I go to God, I say, God, man, we got almost 200 employees. I mean, that insurance on everybody, blah, blah. The Rosanna Donna. And so anyway, so I said, man, what? He said, what about Abraham? Starts with Abraham. He had to say he had 318 servants born in his own house. That means mama and daddy was there, plus the kids.
Amen. Amen.
And Abram was taking care of everybody.
Amen.
Come on now. Now, I'm only saying that God will give us enough.
Yes, sir.
To rework a whole nation. Won't it? Come on. All right, Daniel, let me just show you this. Y'all got me all kind of, I don't know where I am now. I do know where I am. Oh, just flow, huh? Just flow. Daniel chapter 6. What did they do now? They made a law, didn't they? And they made a law that you couldn't pray to any other god except the king. Didn't he? What did Daniel do? Did he break the law? He broke the law, didn't he? What did the king have to do? Put him into what? Is that capital punishment? Could the lion eat him?
No.
No, couldn't eat him. Couldn't die. Because when you're on assignment, you are on assignment. I suspend heart attacks in your life. I suspend kidney failure in your life. Come on now. I suspend diabetes in your life. See, are you following what I'm saying? See, when we're on assignment, nothing's supposed to be able to touch us, Jack. Are y'all following what I'm saying? They threw him in there, but what did they do to get him in there? They had to make an unjust law. There are laws on the books that are not just, folks. They're unjust. And I'm telling you, it's wrong. The people are being treated wrong. And you can't see it unless you separate from this world. You gotta make up your mind, I'm going to walk in the kingdom. And then all of a sudden, you'll see everything that you see all this stuff. Now, it's not to get mad, but it's now to first start praying and see what God's strategy he will give you so that wherever you are, we can fix the system that's out there. All right, let me try to wrap this up. So they brought him out of Egypt. When they brought him out of Egypt, oh Lord, do I have 1 minute and 26 seconds with y'all? I can feel you fading on me. Because see, you were drawing just a minute ago, but now I feel like I'm pushing. Okay. All right, let's go to Psalm 66 and Psalm 110. Psalm 66 and 110. Flow, huh?
Flow.
Okay. Just flow, man. Y'all let me flow. I'm telling you, y'all may not be able to receive what I'm going to say. Because you know I'm used to talking to grown folk. Okay, Psalm 66, Psalm 110. Have you got that?
Yes.
Let's look at Psalm 110 first. I love you too. Please, I love, pray to the Lord. Psalm 110. He said in verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Well, I got news for you. This is the day of his power. And I'm telling you now that Pharaoh's sorcerers were no match for the power of God. And I'm telling you right now, the witchcraft is no match for the power of God. I'm telling you right now that sorcery is no match for the power of God. I'm telling you right now that HIV is no match for the power of God. Say amen to that. Amen. The first thing he told Moses is you're going to have to confront Pharaoh with power, because the thing that the devil respects is power. And I'm telling you, people trying to get and talk him into it and preach it into it. No. You need some power. Look at Psalm chapter 66. Let me know when you got that.
Amen.
Say amen to this.
Amen.
He said this, verse 3, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. Through greatness of your power. So, God's mission for the church has been unchanging. He's not going to change it. It's been the same thing. And the kingdom mandates predates our own our own lives in terms of even the birth of Christ. It goes back thousands of years. And God's word was demonstrated by Jesus, and God wants us to live out that word. And our job is to educate people off of that Babylonian Luciferian system. And to take them off of that thing, get a shift in their thinking. No longer they're going to be hiding in the church, but they're going to be ruling in the nations. And God now is about to pass on the power, turn the power up on his people, because until that power is on display, release will not be granted. I'm telling you, the enemy will try to hold on. Let me just show you one more place. Let's go back to Exodus and Exodus chapter 3, please. Exodus chapter 3. Woo, Lord have mercy. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I don't know about you, but I'm getting mine. And I'm getting everything that the devil stole. And if you're not getting yours, I'm going to get some of yours too. At least I'm going to try to get it. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't be mad when somebody else gets blessed a little bit more than you. No sense in being angry about it. I mean, rejoice. That's why I told y'all last time, I said, you know, somebody's going to bless me with a car or something, and it's, you know, one of these super luxury cars. I said, you know, I can't drive in there with that. Not yet. Because people say, yes, I can. But, you know, I had to slap somebody that come in here with that. I mean, I come in here, man, you start talking about me like that, I had to, man. Are you, if I'm saying, I won't slap you in the natural, I'll slap you in the spirit. Why? Because people are just, I don't know what it is. Now, let me tell you what I'm talking about now, because I wanted to get you ready, because we got a load about to come into church. We got a load about to come into church, so I want to get you ready for this. In John chapter 5, let me just tell you this. Here was a man sitting by the pool of Bethesda. Yes. And he had been there for 38 years. Yes. And in that time, then there, the angel at a certain time would come down and stir up the pool. And then once he stirred it up, he would leave. And whoever first jumped in the pool would be healed of whatsoever he had. Didn't make any difference what he had. And this man, every time for 38 years, trying to get in that pool. And so Jesus came by and said, do you want to be made whole? Well, I've been trying. I tell you, every time I get up, Leroy or Joe or whoever it is, jump in front of me and I can't get there and so forth and so on. He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. When? Now. Praise God. You don't need to stay one more day in that condition that you're in. And you got to get that in your spirit. You don't need to stay one more day in that. I'm telling you, folks, we are not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. We need to command some stuff to happen here. And so what happened? He got up, walked, and at the same day was the Sabbath. Well, the religious people saw him walking. They said, wait a minute. What are you doing carrying your bed on the Sabbath day? He said, a man came and spoke to me and told me, get up, and I was healed and so forth. And they said, wait a minute, you can't do that on the Sabbath. Now, listen, who do they think healed the man? Listen, check this out. Jesus said, it's not me. It's the Father in me. He's doing the work. Now, the Father healed a man. What day was it when he healed him? Sabbath day. Well, the Father did it. He can do it on any day he wants to do it on. Am I right about it? Now, I'm only saying that because it's amazing what that incident revealed in those religious leaders' hearts. They really weren't interested in the man's healing. They were interested in their own empires. Come on, don't shout me down now. See, somebody, you know, talked to a guy, and we were on the tennis court, and he was talking, and he was saying, hey, you mean this guy, and this guy is a minister or whatever. And he said, we got into a big argument. I said, what happened? He said, well, his son was sick or something like that, and I just told him, hey, why don't you lay hands on him, you get healed. And he blew up. How do you know God wants to heal him? I don't know. Now, wait a minute. I'm not coming down on people. But you're in here, and you're finding out some things that other folk are not finding out. And it got so bad, I guess they almost got physical. Now, they're both saved. My point to you is that you know things other folk don't know. See, they may be of a different sheepfold. You follow what I'm saying? So don't go in there starting an argument. Just manifest. See? Just prove the word, because that's what Jesus did. He didn't go around putting other folk gods down. He just lifted his up. Folks, do you know religious arguments is one of the worst arguments you can get in next to politics? Let those arguments go. Just demonstrate, prove. Let the power flow. I got that wallet, man, that somebody called from then half an hour after I spoke to them and said, hey, I got your wallet. Are you so-and-so? Yes, I am. I got your wallet here. How would you like me to send it to you? Well, oh, man, they called me back. Oh, man, I could just hug you, man. If I was by you, I'd hug you. I said, no, cousin, you don't need to hug me. Just, you know what he saw? He saw the power. People will be willing in the day of that power. Folks, it was never meant that this much word go forth without some demonstration. So I'm just saying here today, what's about to happen? God's about to turn on the power. Now, one, we're going to get a load coming in. When you get your load, don't act ignorant. Don't put your nose up in the air. Remember, God first. Say God first. See, I'm seeing now, I'm seeing what it takes to get what we're supposed to get. It takes faith. And that's why I told you, I was looking at that thing and I saw Haiti with Dubai's background. Now, if you don't know anything about Dubai, you don't know. But Dubai is one of the wealthiest areas in the world right now. Say amen to that. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all I have for you today. God bless you. Praise God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. All right. Now, wait. Now, I've got communion here for those who would like communion. I've got communion because, you know, we got communion. I want to take a moment here and call for people who need to get saved, though, before everybody starts moving. And if you're here and God has spoken to your heart and you know that you need to be born again, here's what I want to do. I want to call you to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Whoever that is in here right now.